The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Here's a quick question for you. How did you sleep last night? If your battle for a good night's sleep feels relentless, I have the answer. It's a podcast called Sleepwave, with meditations and hypnosis created to help you fall asleep. My relaxation techniques will help you feel calm and ready for sleep, with soft music that will help you fall asleep in minutes. Most listeners never hear the end of an episode. So search Sleepwave on your favorite podcast app and find out why over a million people have fallen asleep to my voice.
Beyond.
Beyond.
Yay, Beyond. Yay, Beyond.
I'm glad you guys didn't yell it. Beyond. This is what happens when Brian Altano's not here. People aren't just yelling at each other. You guys do that Beyond,
Beyond.
Thing where you yell.
Beyond.
Beyond.
Stop
Beyond.
It.
Beyond.
Stop it.
Beyond.
Stop it. Beyond. Why don't you be the adult?
Beyond. You're the new Max.
Please, no. Welcome to Podcast Beyond, episode 413. Nice. I am your host, Marty Sliva. I am joined by Andrew Goldfarb.
Yay, anime.
Making her return, second time in the past month or so, Marina Sanchez.
So fast.
It was so amazing that we wanted
you
back.
Did you go to Tokyo again? How was Tokyo again?
I mean, I went my dreams, but yeah, as far as I got.
That's the only time I've been to Tokyo.
Yeah, night Tokyo. And making her Podcast Beyond debut, Kelly Plagey.
Hey, it's me.
Yeah, you did it.
Yeah, I made it.
You guys, as people probably know, you guys host Anime Club, which is anime, IGN's club podcast. It's about where the best clubs are. Yes. Yeah,
and then they
are you guys into designer drugs? I sure am. No.
Molly-san.
Yeah. Molly-san! I love that so much! That's really good.
That's why I'm here.
Thank you guys so much for joining us. We have a cool show. We're going to talk about the Far Cry, ostensibly Far Cry 5, which was announced today or yesterday. If you come from real terrible countries, we're going to talk about a Final Fantasy 12 spinoff that never was. We're going to talk about anime, a lot of anime, or amine. Have you ever called it amine?
No.
Okay, I did that once or twice.
You ever call them aminals? When I was a little kid, I said aminals all the time.
Oh, yeah.
My
that's really
sister
cute.
Made fun of me
cute.
For like a really long time.
Yeah, totally.
All and
that.
I was like really self-conscious about it until I was like 15. No, not like 15. Like aminals.
Yeah.
What about like
aminals?
An anemone?
Yeah.
I don't think I said that word that often.
That's like from Finding Nemo, yeah.
Like sandwich?
I say sandwich.
When I was a baby, I used to call the kitchen a chicken.
I call it
a kitchen. I the chicken and make some dinner.
My dad used to make me grilled cheese so often that I thought it was girl cheese because he would make it for me.
Girl cheese?
That means.
So I was like, can I have a grilled cheese? And he was like, I guess.
That's pretty bad. I say sausage. I say drink soup.
What's wrong
I don't
with
say
sausage?
You eat sausage. I say
no,
you drink soup, not that
it replaces
you eat
the
soup.
U with an extra S.
Yeah, sausage, tomato, potato.
Tomato? In Japanese, polenta. When you would take medicine, you actually drink it. Like the word for it is drink.
And don't you drink soup too?
Yeah.
Yeah, I drink soup. I say
it's nomu, right?
Yeah. See, I'm just Japanese at heart.
Yeah.
Sumi maisen. Arigato gozaimasu. This has been a disaster.
Gaijin-desu.
Yeah. That was rude. Yes, Altano is already in New York for New York Comic Con.
I'll be there tomorrow.
Or today, if you're listening to this.
Oh, yeah, because it goes up today. I realized I have a New York shirt on today. That's weird.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of my many... I fly a lot, so I have a lot of airport shirts.
You don't have to buy shirts at airports. You can bring your own shirts when you go places. It's crazy.
No.
They allow you to bring shirts onto an
Texas
airplane.
I have one because I got thrown up on by a baby in the airport.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
This one was from the summer. I was passing through JFK. It's a real hot day. I was a real sweaty boy. Got really gross and didn't want to get in the plane covered in sweat. So I bought this guy for like $25 in the gift shop.
Did you refer to the shirt as this guy?
Yeah.
Stop. Why are you assigning gender to your shirt?
It's true. Maybe it's a her. Mm-hmm. Gender neutral shirt. Anyway, I will be at New York Comic Con. Marty is no longer going to be there.
No. International incident.
International incident, yeah.
Oh. I spat on Rudy Giuliani. I didn't like that he turned down all those porn theaters on Times Square. ruined my Times Square.
Still not international.
It's very, very much localized.
It'll be Altano and I, though. There's a meet and greet on Saturday night at 8 p.m. New York time, which is 5 p.m. Pacific. Don't know why I said that, because you have to be in New York.
People are really concerned with
that. For the live stream. There will not be a live stream. Yeah, but we'll be there all weekend, covering a bunch of stuff, and then I'm gonna take some time off after. So I won't be in the
video game-wise, what are we expecting? What do people who listen to this podcast might care about?
Square Enix has a bunch of stuff, like Tomb Raider, Hitman, Just Cause, all that stuff. Capcom's there, Street Fighter V, a bunch of other stuff. They have a World of Capcom panel.
That weird, was it Umbrella, Biohazard Core?
Oh, yeah, Biohazard Core. Yeah, Brian and I will probably play that. Oh, you play at Tokyo, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, man. See, Brian really wants to play it. I'm really curious to see. He's like a more of an old-school Resident Evil guy. I'm curious what he'll think about it. He's probably not going to like it.
No, probably not.
Yep. Not a happy man. And then what else? There's some panels and stuff. Disney Infinity has a thing about Marvel Battlegrounds, which will be interesting because they've been kind of leaning into Star Wars for 3.0. But yeah, I'm excited. I love New York, so it'll be good.
Yeah, do you have there are shirts that are I Heart New York.
I have one. I have an IGN one from the New York Comic Con 2010 IGN meetup. It says IGN logo New York.
Your closet is rife with real shitty shirts.
When I was in the original York, I got a shirt that said "I heart
the original
y.
New York,"
like old York.
York.
UK.
Oh,
York.
Oh.
So that's just a big Y.
It's regular. Yeah, it just says "I heart," really, and then there's like no N, and it's just
"I heart Y." It's like a caveman confused about why he's in love. speaking of cavemen.
Whoa!
Oh, wow. Well, I hate you for that.
That's beautiful.
That's really good.
Yeah, Marty, you mentioned a new Far Cry game earlier.
Yeah.
It's called Far Cry Primal. And it's out. So this is awesome. And we actually have a question about this later. But it is out in February 2016, which is really cool. They announced it today. So that's, 4 months until it releases?
Very soon.
Would like to see that trend continue.
Yeah, more people need to do that because I'm tired of hearing, this game coming out in 2 years.
Yeah, okay, all right, cool.
Actually, just don't care anymore.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, this is the second time this year this has happened with, Fallout right before E3, where it's like, hey, not only is this revealed, but here's a bunch of footage, and you can own it in 5 months.
Yeah, that's the best. And, especially compared to something like Watch Dogs that had like a 18, 19-month cycle from announced to when it came out.
I mean, Ubisoft, that's become their MO with, I mean, Rainbow Six was Patriots years before it got canceled and then turned into Siege. The Division still isn't out. Beyond Good and Evil 2.
It's just so easy to forget about things like that.
Totally.
I had forgotten about The Division until you just brought it up.
No, seriously.
The hype dies after.
Yeah, and it's those long tails really hurt a game. Like the first time we all played Evolve, we were like, oh man, this is awesome. And the second time we played it, we're like, oh man, this is awesome. And then a year later, we're like, oh, I'm sort of done previewing this. I just want to review the game now and play it.
Yeah, you lose momentum after a certain point.
Yeah, you really do.
On the contrary, though, I wonder if it's harder to build momentum when you only have, like, a four-month cycle.
Yeah,
because,
I mean,
like, for something like Fallout, obviously it's fine, but, like, for an even slightly smaller game than that, like, they have to kind of remind people.
It kind of makes more sense, though, because then you have more material to promote in that short span of time as opposed to the 2 years where you need to find enough to promote without the story way or without, like, mechanics or something. So then you're just recycling things over and over.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I already saw this. I don't care.
And with those 2 years, which, again, Ubisoft has, sort of stabbed themselves in the foot. Stab yourself in the foot. Shot yourself in the foot.
Nothing good's happened those two.
You just don't.
They fell out of their own tree. But by showing a game too early, and then when 2 years later when the game actually comes out, like it doesn't quite match the target renders or what the game originally was or the vertical slice that they originally showed, and that tends to hurt them a little bit.
Then people go back and compare and get angry.
Far Cry Primal is launching on PS4 and Xbox One February 23rd, which is only a couple months away. You play set in 10,000 BC, and you're playing a hunter in this made-up language, like they're speaking old caveman talk. The voice actor who voiced Adam Jensen in Deus Ex confirmed today that he is voicing the main character. But yeah, from what we've seen, there's no dinosaurs. This is way after dinosaurs.
Well,
there will probably be dinosaur DLC or something.
I was literally going to be like DLC. I'm like, that's already the name of it.
I wonder, I would guess they're not super concerned with historical continuity here. But I
don't think so, Andrew. I don't think they've ever been.
This is a really cool, interesting idea for this franchise, in my opinion. Like, watching that trailer, I was actually like, oh, like, this makes a lot of sense. And it's, like, the idea of, like, replacing... Because, like, even in, like, Far Cry 3, like, when you're skinning animals and, like, collecting hides and stuff, that actually makes sense in, like, a hunter-gatherer society a lot more.
Yeah.
And then, like, think about, like, vehicles. Like, you don't need, like, a Jeep if you can hop on the back of, like, a whatever.
Woolly mammoth. It seems like you have a saber-tooth tiger buddy.
That's
your companion. That seems really nice.
That seems awesome.
I bet he's going to die at the end.
Saber-tooth friend.
Yeah, it's going to be like Argo. or Aggro? Argo, the hit film Argo?
The Ben Affleck.
No, the horse from Shadow of the Colossus. Oh, yeah. But he didn't real die because he came back. Spoilers.
Yeah.
Whoa.
We did it.
Nothing like a good old living dog.
Yeah. Yeah, the quote follows. You play as Takar, a season hunter and the last surviving member of his hunting group. You're wandering around the land of Oros, where you craft weapons and tools partly from the bones of slayed beasts, hunt for food, master fire, fend off fierce predators, and face off against other tribes to conquer Oros. Yeah, it seemed really cool. I'm curious to see if it's going to have the same sort of base Far Cry-isms that they've had in 3 and 4 of, I guess, which are now Ubisoft-isms of there are 100 nodes on the map, and you go to the nodes, and you clear out an outpost, and then 100 more dots appear, and you go do those things, which aren't the worst. I mean, that's obviously been a successful formula. And
I think that's the most fun part of Far Cry games at this point. Like, yeah. I prefer that to the story content generally. I'm curious how the narrative plays out here with no...
Right.
If it's really... Like, let's say there are no subtitles. Let's say it is entirely
That
spoken.
Seems so cool.
Yeah. Like, I think it would be kind of incredible to have an entire game with just, like, nonverbal communication. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, like, they're
really
speaking,
too,
but...
Like,
yeah.
To
yeah.
convey a story that way. I mean, if they achieve that, it's amazing.
I mean,
that's really cool.
Marion and I did a thing on The Last of Us a couple days ago that's never going to see the light of day, but it's just... Okay. It was just a test thing. we were just talking about the ending and how, like, technology is sort of getting to a point where with mocap and with facial recognition, you can get emotion from that. Like,
yeah,
you can glean that just by looking at a character.
Yeah, an actor can use like body language and basically the 80% of acting that's unspoken and kind of convey that in the game, and you don't need kind of the belabored exposition that a lot of games kind of rely on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like going back to Team Eco with in Eco proper, your first playthrough, Yorta didn't have subtitles. You still had this emotional attachment between the two, be it grunts.
Or even like Journey or something. Yeah. Where like it's not, you know, you're speaking through chirps, but like you're still like communicating what you want.
Man, did anyone ever do a video where they subtitled Journey?
I mean, I'm sure they're out there.
Just complaining the whole time. Like, oh my God.
I have to cross that bridge. How do I get up there?
I would take this dumb scarf off. It is hot out
it's
here.
It's so hot. last thing I want to say about Far Cry, I don't think this game comes out in February 2016. As much as everything we were just saying is true, like, I'd be very surprised. If this is a full, you know, I assume this is a $60.
It is a full $60 game. This
I'm guessing this is delayed.
Yeah, I'm interested that they didn't call it Far Cry 5.
Yeah.
They called it Far Cry Primal. Because this is not like Blood Dragon where it's like a 3-hour downloadable thing.
It's like a full,
this is a full retail
thing.
Game. Yeah. Really interesting. Ubisoft Toronto, Shanghai, Kiev are assisting on Primal. Which is no surprise because that's what Ubisoft does.
Yep.
But it's insane that this was announced and will be coming out before The Division.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Like, which was announced two E3s ago. Yeah.
I mean, I would love to see this happen more often. I really would.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think, obviously PlayStation fans have been boned by that a little bit with The Last Guardian and with,
Versus 13.
Yeah. Versus 13.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Speaking of Final Fantasy...
It's really
That's
good.
Cool.
Unlocked, we do really awful segues, but this has worked well.
See,
I'm proud of you.
On Anime Club, we have something called a Megway.
I like that a lot.
We usually do pretty well.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
We'll just be like talking about something that's not anime, and we'll be like, yeah, and it's like an anime because of this.
Yeah, it's
just
totally
desperately
anime.
Grasping at straws.
I like how like every podcast needs someone whose last name ends with egg, so you could do a blank Eggway.
Yeah.
Remember Greg?
Oh, I
remember
Greg. Ours are just like the eggs on Twitter, just like the unknown.
The eggs on Twitter who are really mean to us.
Eggway. Yeah.
I miss Greg and Colin. Why are you yelling at us?
Oh, I miss Greg and Colin.
I miss Greg and Colin too. P.S. I love you. XOXO. Yeah. Every Tuesday.
Yeah, episode 2. Shuhei Ishida's on today.
Yeah, I know him.
I'm going to listen to that on a real good plane
ride
tomorrow.
I saw that guy in Japan.
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah, he was going to eat sushi and he just passed me and I was like, that's Shuhei Ishida. Oh, nice. Cool.
I saw Greg at a bar last week, and he knew who I was. That was pretty cool.
Have you not met Greg?
I'd met him, like, a while back, and, like, I was like, hey, you probably don't remember. And he's like, oh, I remember when you applied. And I was like,
aww.
Aww. It was
also weird. I was about to say, man, I saw Greg at a bar last weekend, too.
I'm like, we were at the same bar.
Same bar. Yeah. Same bar.
That was at Mike Pereira's.
That was Mike Pereira's Viking funeral.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Speaking of Vikings.
That's really good. Keep going.
What is happening?
That's what this...
Yeah, so there's a story on GameSpot, which is really, really cool. Highly recommend reading it. Is about Fortress, mm-hmm. which was the codename for a Final Fantasy XII spinoff in development by Grin.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I want to get into it, but holy crap, it's cool to me that there was a Western dev working on a proper Final Fantasy spinoff.
Yeah, it's
like
insane.
That alone is exciting to me.
Yeah, this was back in like 2009 or so. Square, after Revenant Wings came out for DS, which was the first 12 spinoff, they went to evidently a bunch of Western studios and decided on Grin, which seems like a weird choice. At the time was working on the Bionic Commando, the pair of them. Both they'd been rearmed, and they did which
is interesting.
HD remake.
One was super well received, and one kind of wasn't.
Yeah, the 2D, the PSN one was really well received, mm-hmm. and then the full Bionic Commando, which was the big 3D one, which I think its failure sort of sunk the studio a little bit. That was not. Do you remember that? You remember what the twist in that game was?
The arm thing?
Yeah. Do you guys know about that twist?
No.
We can say it because that game's spoilers dumb.
It doesn't matter.
I really don't care.
So, you know, he has a bionic arm.
Would you say he's twisting your arm?
The twist of his arm is that his arm is his dead wife.
Whoa! Yeah,
but
you're
mad about that joke now.
Masturbation joke? What is that?
Well,
I mean,
yeah, well, I remember that the twist. Not that one.
Honey, you never left me. I mean, you never write me. This is right end, not his left end. Sorry, where were you?
Totally. What are we talking about?
That's a weird twist.
So I've heard the twist. I've heard the twist before.
That was a twist. Is that the spirit of his dead wife was in his arm?
Why?
That's
literally why.
I mean, that's the Bionic Commando.
That's a fact. <Hitler. laughs>
When you're going to kill Hitler in the original, that was Golden. Was that Hitler?
I don't think it was Hitler.
Remember Hitler?
Yeah.
That dude was real. So he was a real bad boy. Yeah.
It looks really cool. It's sad because it's canceled. Like,
yeah.
Won't happen.
Yeah. The overall structure of the game seemed really neat. You played as Bosch, and it was more of an action game than an RPG, but the whole thing was centered around this fortress on a different continent. The continent was more Nordic than what we'd seen of, whereas Final Fantasy XII had sort of this Egyptian, Syrian vibe to it. This was like a different continent, and you're protecting this fortress throughout four seasons from like Poseidon, sort of.
Yeah,
like
they said it was like divided across sort of 2 years, so like two sets of four seasons, and like that things are changing as you go, basically. And there's like an angry sea god is sort of like a Neptune or a Poseidon.
But you sort of, it's almost like you do all this prep work throughout the season, and then it culminates in a like Helm's Deep sort of siege. Like stuff can get messed up to where like if a tower that houses your food gets wrecked, then all of a sudden you're entering winter without a food supply and you have to go out and hunt more. And then throughout the seasons, the various characters from 12 would come in and help you in battles, and it would sort of be like the swan song and sort of saying goodbye to those characters like Vaughn and Ash and everything.
That sounds really cool.
Yeah, and they said like rubble, like if one of your towers fell down, the rubble would stay there and like would get covered in leaves in the fall and like snow in the winter.
That's awesome.
Yeah, all of it sounded really cool.
And it's totally worth, go to GameSpot, check out concept art, all that stuff.
Yeah, it was Alexa Ray Correa's story. She was on our real drunk E3 episode.
those articles are really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're really great.
I saw her tweeting about it. It took her like months and months. Like she did a lot of work.
Yeah, it's real old-fashioned journalism. A lot of cool concept art.
There's a third part. If you're listening to this now, the third part's probably up.
Yeah, but we don't know what the third part. Well, what if the third part gets real racist and we were like, we shouldn't have done that. We're sorry. If the third part's really racist, I'm sorry.
Speaking of being really written, no, this
was... Target's kind of homophobic, aren't they? That's kind of wrong.
They did that dumb thing where they had like their sexist toys section too. I shop at Target a lot, actually. They're fine.
They get rid of this?
No, they fixed it. They fixed it. Yeah. But they had it in the first place.
I mean, like that.
The fact that they made progress. That's true.
Like, it doesn't change anything, guys. They just took off the boys and girls labels. It's fine.
Yeah.
Anyway,
like,
internet's a weird place.
I'm getting real sweaty. Yeah. It's real hot in
here. I bought a really cute bear. Plush from Target.
Yeah, I saw Brian tweet that out.
I saw that cute bear. Yeah, that was really cute.
Super cute.
Guys, should we talk more about that cute bear? Top 10 cute bears in video games.
Over the weekend,
Teddy.
Not the zombies, teddy bear. Duh. Okay, anyway.
Teddy.
Monokuma. Monokuma.
Duh. Monokuma! Okay.
We had, over the weekend, Target had the front page of their video game section had a picture of the Nathan Drake Collection PS4 bundle, and it said, introducing the new price of PS4, $50 off, now just $349, which is not a thing yet. And so the question becomes, so basically Target has this deal where for the Last of Us and Destiny bundles, you get a $50 gift card when you buy it. It's still listed as $399, but you get $50 back. But curiously, the Nathan Drake Collection bundle that was pictured in the like graphic about the price drop, did not have that deal. Mm-hmm. That one was still $3.99. So it's just interesting if this is either outing a price drop that hasn't been announced yet, like mm-hmm. maybe coming at their Paris Games Week conference, mm-hmm. or yeah. if this was just like a Target screw up or something.
Yeah, I mean, so the price dropped in Japan at TGS,
yep.
right? Mm-hmm. Right,
by like equivalent to $50.
Yeah, yeah. so yeah. that's definitely sort of a sign of things to come. Plus, recently Microsoft's been very aggressive with not with price drops, but with their holiday bundles. They had that entire yeah. week last week where it was like, here's the Fallout bundle, here's the one with Rare Replay, here's the Tomb Raider one,
the Kinect one that they
the
very
Gears.
Quietly announced.
Yeah. They have a
Gears
one.
Yeah, the Gears one. So
yep, and that's the white one.
Yeah. yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting because, yeah, so Microsoft dropped their price in June, I think, like either at E3 or shortly after E3, to $349 for the 500 gig, and then there's now these 1 terabyte bundles that are $399. Mm-hmm. And then the Wii U is, I think, is $299. So, right? Yeah. So, I don't know, it's interesting because, like, that this makes PS4 super competitive if they drop yeah. to that price, and they're right. already
doing so
well.
Which is insane because it doesn't, it's the one that doesn't need it.
Yeah.
But it's about the right amount of time. I mean, we talked about this a little bit after the PS4 announcement, and it is, like, historically roughly the right time.
Yeah, I mean, there's always going to be those people hanging on and waiting for that price drop. They're like, you know, I'll wait till, like, the collection, all the games library builds up, and
yeah.
then just get a bundle.
And yeah. I mean, they're not going to be selling... systems, especially over Xbox, based on exclusives this fall, because
right.
I mean, it's mm-hmm. They don't have Halo and Tomb Raider, and those are probably two of the biggest games of the fall. Whereas everything, like obviously, you can play Fallout on anything, you can play Assassin's Creed, you can play Battlefront on anything,
yeah.
And some of them lean one way or another. But you know, Nathan Drake Collection is sort of the only big Sony thing that you can't play on Xbox.
I mean, it's worth noting that the big PS4 holiday bundle seems to be the, I mean, aside from Nathan Drake, is the Black Ops 3 bundle.
Yeah.
Because right. Black Ops is aligning with Sony this time around.
Right, yeah.
And so combined with a price drop, like if enough people really do finally make the jump, because a lot of people went from 360 last gen to mm-hmm. PS4 this gen, you know, if people's friends are starting to migrate over, like Call of Duty is kind of that unstoppable force where it's like, at that point, I don't know like how PS4's momentum is kind of ever stopped, because mm-hmm. like if it's cheaper and everybody's friends are migrating to it and people are playing online, like that's kind of the end.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, it's gonna be interesting too. I mean, they also have the Battlefront bundle, which mm-hmm. is like when people like Mitch and Zach Ryan are just streaming it out there, and like the beta looks incredible. And I imagine a lot of people who I don't know, they might not be like the most hardcore gamers, but if they're a big Star Wars fan and they see that in action, they're gonna be like, oh man, I want to play as Darth Vader on Hoth.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's interesting. If in October Microsoft can't outsell the PS4, that seems to be a very, you know,
strange.
Yeah. If Halo 5 can't push it ahead of the PS4, then it seems like you said, almost like literally what will.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll obviously Xbox will continue to sell. And it's going to
oh yeah,
be
it's been
fine
selling
in general.
Yeah.
But it's you know I don't think they will close that gap anytime soon.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, it's weird. We've gotten emails saying, like, do you think the console, like, is this generation over? Like, did Sony just win? It's like, well, no, that's not a thing. Like, you're not just
like,
done.
It's a long game, depending on how long the generation is. Like, the last one was so long that PS3 was very behind for a long time, but by the end it caught up,
mm-hmm.
And it was, like, slow gains. But, like, I mean, it can happen, and you never know, like, where things will go, and competitive price drops, and exclusives, like, I don't know, for all we know, Recore is going to sell 50 million copies. Like, you just never know what the thing is.
I do know, and it won't. or maybe, you know, PlayStation VR comes out and is either a huge hit or a huge bust. Or yep. HoloLens comes out and it's a huge hit or a huge mm-hmm. bust. Or yep. the Oculus thing. So, yeah, we don't know.
We don't know?
Yeah. Do you know?
The future is a mystery.
I know. I actually can predict the future, but I like to keep it quiet.
Really? Yeah. Oh, that's
damn.
Cool.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
You're a weird boy and your girlfriend. We're now segueing into the anime portion of the show.
Yay, anime!
Yay, anime!
Andrew, you tweeted out solicitations for questions to beyond@ign.com.
Yeah.
What's that email address again?
beyond@ign, at the weird little black hole sign that's at the top of your keyboard, ign.com.
It's above the two.
It is above the two.
Which is the second number.
It's not above
the one
two.
And the three.
It's like the, well, it's the back side of the two. It's like the two's
right.
ass. That's what hitting a shift does.
It's like it's secret identity.
Yeah,
like
totally.
The Clark Kent
it's the
two. It's
Superman.
Yeah. And
No. Superman is the two and Clark Kent's the ampersand.
Oh, is this a callback to Kill Bill?
Well, no. I mean, that's just sort of the thing. Is Clark Kent is a secret identity.
Well, that's yeah. There's like a really good monologue in Kill Bill Volume 2.
It's good. Oh, yeah.
Hey guys,
yeah,
sorry, Marty and I blacked out there.
Kill Bill had a really cool anime scene. Speaking of really cool anime scenes,
wow.
Justin T. Weil emailed us at beyond@ign.com and said, number one, anime club. Can you think of any game to anime adaptations or vice versa that you think would work well and you would recommend, or any that you want to happen. So, let's start there. That's a pretty big question.
So we've definitely had this episode before. Okay.
So should we just pause and then put that entire episode in here?
Yeah, we're just gonna slice it in.
Do you remember what episode that was?
Megway.
Do you remember what episode that was?
Oh no, I don't.
Okay, I'll embed it in the post.
Yeah. So if you want like the really in-depth version of this,
we've done that. But just like the big game to anime adaptions.
Sorry, I mouth F word you to her.
Do I have to write that down?
I don't know. Sorry. Go. All right. Sorry.
There's Pokemon. Steins Gate. If we're looking
at Steins Gate's on Vita now, right?
Yeah, Steins Gate is the visual novel first.
The visual novel's on Vita, yeah.
Yeah. And it's also on PC and I think PS3.
What's Steins Gate about?
Steins Gate is about the best stuff. It's about time traveling.
Oh, I like the consequences of time traveling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it does characters really well. So like all of the characters, we talked about this actually on Anime Club this morning. Just all of the characters are really, really fleshed out. They're mm-hmm. three-dimensional characters. So all of them have something where you're like, this person's so great, but they kind of did this thing that's kind of not great.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're like realistic people, but in this sci-fi kind of world where it's not really about like physical time travel. It's more about like ideas traveling in time.
Right. It's just like the very beginnings of time travel and what it could become and the consequences of trying to learn more about it too. Mm-hmm. So this group of essentially college students and like their high school friend figure out how to send text messages back to the past.
Yeah.
And the consequences of those, like, altering, you know, their world and, you know, trying mm-hmm. to figure out if it's, like, the right thing to do and then, you know, figuring out the even bigger consequences from that, too.
Yeah.
And so it kind
of sounds incredible.
Yeah. It's amazing.
It's a fantastic anime. Like, you should absolutely watch that if I think you're just looking for anime.
Is there a dog in it?
Yeah, it's a...
No.
Is there a dog?
Dog or bust. Dog or go for it.
But there's a cute plush.
The okay. There is the Oopas. Are cute. Yeah, I think this question was specifically about like Persona, and he wanted suggestions, kind of like
game to anime. Like, yeah, so watching stuff. So
wait, yeah, you guys Steins were Gate yeah.
Steins Gate is
like
good one.
The easy one to recommend.
Wait, was that game to anime or anime to game?
Game to anime. It was a visual novel. That was game to anime. And then the one that I wrote down in all caps is Danganronpa because I love Danganronpa, and that one is also an anime, and it's by the same studio as the Persona animation. It's by Lurke, and so that's another one. Like if you don't want to play the game, which it's a good game. Like we've talked about this before. Like some people don't like the mechanics of Danganronpa.
Mitch Dyer.
Yeah, but it's I really enjoy it, and the story is really good. So that's one. Like if I think the question was about his girlfriend. So like if your girlfriend doesn't want to like take time to like play the game, it's not super long or anything. But the anime is also a good option.
Yeah, I'm interested in kind of that concept. I think it's really cool how so Persona 5 they announced an anime special, and then Persona 4 has a series of they did one series for the original, and then one series for Golden, and then P3. Actually, you just watched the first two movies, which are they're doing based on seasons. They're dividing it up into four movies. Mm-hmm. I think there might be a fifth, but that are telling the same story as the game. And I think that's really interesting to me. That like the Danganronpa one also does that. I believe
it's the story
of the game rather than like a spin-off kind of mm-hmm. set in the same world or whatever it is.
So,
are all of them? I mean, is that super common to kind of adapt the actual full
maybe
story?
Maybe like bigger game, like really big games, the Fate Stay series. Usually says with visual novels, since they are so cinematic in themselves already. Like they tell like a really great story, they establish a bunch of different branching paths, and then usually you take like the main path.
Yeah, you take like the most popular one or something. So Fate's a good example.
Yeah, the Fate series.
Well, God Eater was a game first, like an actual game on the PSP. I think it was PSP. God's Eater. Here and it was God Eater in Japan, and then they just adapted that into anime this past season.
Right.
So that keeps happening, but I don't know how the story is in God Eater, the anime.
Yeah, it was released really slowly on Daisuke. I think it's still going. Mm-hmm. It is still going. I just have to catch up on it. But it looks
I find that concept really interesting because, especially for like a JRPG, like mm-hmm. you can spend 80 hours playing Persona 3. Or you can watch two 90-minute movies and be caught up through half of that game.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think that's a really interesting. It kind of depends on why you play. Mm-hmm. I think there are people who play for the mechanics, who want the grinding, who want the dungeon crawling, and you also get kind of an enriched experience. You get that idea of, you know, like social links and getting to know the characters outside the main story. Whereas, like you were just saying, like that, I think these animes seem to do just kind of the main path.
Right.
But there's a lot of value in that, and honestly, like. My backlog is so crazy for games that it's like I like the idea of being able to kind of skip
Yeah, if you don't have time for a full JRPG or going through all of the paths in a visual novel, like, it is kind of nice to get that abridged version. And it's not even an abridged version. It's the full story from the main kind of line.
Yeah.
Right. And you get all of that value.
Gotta get
that
true ending.
Yeah.
I mean, it's interesting, too, because, like, people keep trying to find that, like, white whale of a video game that has a movie adaptation that's not horrendous.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because we still haven't really gotten that, but whereas with anime, it seems like there's been plenty of things that, like, are very good or at the very least passable, like, as opposed to, like, sort of, like, the dreck that is, like, the Hitman movies or Prince of Persia or any of the Resident Evil movies. So, yeah, it's funny that Japan seems to be doing it just fine, whereas, you know, the West is sort of blown it.
Yep.
Yeah. Except for Assassin's Creed, Jeremy Irons.
I honestly think that might be the first, like, actual, like, incredible video game movie.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I haven't seen Macbeth yet, obviously, but based on the trailer and based on kind of the early impressions of that movie and based on how good the cast is for Assassin's Creed, that is probably the one I have the highest hopes for ever out of a game-to-movie adaptation.
What if they fail you?
I'm
going to be
cry,
a real
just
sad
just
boy.
Cry.
We'll all have a good cry.
Yeah.
I'm down.
Well,
look at IGN's newest podcast, The Cry Club. Just 45 uninterrupted minutes of us sobbing.
That's the true Beyond Anime Club.
Yeah, exactly.
Cry Club.
We're actually all sobbing.
Yep.
Just sad kids, you know?
Oh my God, we did it again. Hey, speaking of crying, we got a question from Christian Nava. What was the first, and we'll adapt this a little bit for
like
you.
Like a hit film adaptation.
What was the first anime that made you cry? He says, in my case, it was the original Sailor Moon. When Nefrite, am I saying that right? Nefrite?
I mean, it
sacrificed himself
to give. It's Nefrite, right?
To save Naru. That day years ago, it was raining. I was alone at home and had recently gotten my heart broken in high school. When I watched that Sailor Moon episode, it broke me. Love what you guys and gals are doing. Keep up the good
work. Really emotional.
I'm sorry.
People were responding to a tweet of this image and saying that they were starting to cry.
It was so sad. It was so good because it's also something that's not in the manga for Sailor Moon.
Yeah.
So. It's just so. It's like just such a great moment that you don't see anywhere except for the 90s Sailor Moon anime, and they built it up so well. So it
crack love.
Those Sailor Moon was like one of my first loves with anime. I think the first one that made me cry was Pokemon.
I was gonna say Pokemon
like
too. Freaking Bye Bye Butterfree.
Oh wait, the cartoon?
Yeah, Pokemon's an anime.
It's an anime. Excuse
duh.
You.
I apologize.
So, I mean, like,
oh my God. Don't anime-splain me.
So, yeah, people forget that. They're like, oh, yeah, it's a cartoon, right? I'm like, well, yeah, it's also anime because, you know, all anime is
cartoons. Yeah. They're all cartoons. Animation.
Well, then I guess I watched a lot of that when I was younger. Like
what happened
OG
to Butterfree?
Anime.
So Bye Bye Butterfree is when – so Ash has – he caught this Caterpie. He trains it into – from Caterpie to Metapod to Butterfree. It's been his companion. And then he's like, I'll set you free and you can be free with the rest of the Butterfrees. And he like says this tearful goodbye and the Butterfree flies away and I cry.
And then he turns around to the rest of his Pokemon and he's like, back in your ball, slave. And walks away.
So there's a very similar episode, but with Pikachu, and if you know me, Pikachu is like my number one.
Yep.
So of anything, pretty much.
Sorry, Brian.
I mean, sorry, but I mean, did you see how many Pikachus on my desk?
Sure, it's a good point.
And Pikachu essentially finds another little herd of Pikachus and fits in super well. Like these little baby Pikachu, like looks up to him and just want to be friends. And then the Pikachu get kidnapped by Team Rocket, of course, and. You know, Ash's Pikachu goes and saves him and helps him, and then, you know, Ash realizes that Pikachu is just trying to spend all his time with these other Pikachus. Like, you know, maybe you belong with your kind. Like,
maybe
you should
you'd be
with
happy.
The other Pikachu and be, you know, have a happy family.
And I'm going to cry just from you telling this story.
And then, yeah, but he's just, like, Ash starts crying and, like, he lives all, like, this really dumb montage of all these Pikachu moments.
Yeah, well, because if you watch that show from the beginning, like, at the very beginning, Pikachu hates Ash and he hates being with Ash. And so, like, Ash is like, well, maybe he just hates me and he'd be happier with all these other Pikachus.
Yeah.
Do they stay together?
Yeah, of course they stay together.
You said you watched a ton of the show.
I don't know if it's like a season three like departure moment.
That was probably the first moment that made me cry in anime.
Yeah, and then there have been so many since.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
I cry at my desk sometimes when I'm watching anime.
Me too.
I cry at my desk when I'm not watching anime.
Just drinking.
Got that Anohana. Got that school
in. Do
you gotta write down that swear, Anohana.
I was sometimes I just sit on the couch at home, just like have this massive Pikachu that I cuddle. It's the best. And I just like sob.
No, I watched this episode of School Live and I like grabbed a blanket and I like saw, I had to pause because it's subtitled obviously, so I couldn't read through my tears.
I know, right? I'm like tearing up right now. I should not be. It's coming.
This got
easily my favorite episode.
So if you guys really want to see us cry, we're gonna do a spoiler cast.
Marty, quick. How many games? Made
when was
cry?
The last time I cried? when she left me. So transitioning this into video games.
Yeah.
Do video games make you guys cry?
Sometimes.
Yeah, not as often.
I like happy cried and then did Journey.
Oh. I know what I cried.
I literally died.
A man died. Like...
I cried through like half of To the Moon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's super emotional.
I played it with Brian and we were really sad together. It's okay.
Aww. Yeah.
It's couples activity.
Yeah, I'm trying to think like the stuff that gets me really emotional, like Braid, that like final level of Braid
for sure.
When, like, you realize what the game's actually about and you're going through it backwards.
Beginning of The Last of Us.
Nope. I thought, bye.
Let's, okay,
bye.
Take your stance.
So,
yeah.
So, if spoilers for the beginning of The Last of Us.
That's fine. We've been spoiling everything.
Joel's daughter's not on any promotional material. She's not on the box art. She's not on anything. She's obviously going to die. I don't care about her immediately. I'm just like, you're dead. All right, bye.
Just because someone's going to die doesn't mean you can't care about them. Like, we're all going
to
die.
I didn't have like a reason to care about her. Like, oh, well, there's a bunch of people getting killed. I mean, well.
You also think Joel's a, quote, big, dumb, selfish baby.
He is a very selfish man. Like he,
I mean, yeah, no, he's the worst. Why?
If we're talking endgame spoilers, I have thoughts on that. I don't want to spoil.
Yeah,
The Last of Us.
No.
I mean, what's the statute of limitations on The Last of Us?
I don't know.
I
stop listening right now if you haven't played The Last of Us and come back in 5 minutes.
Are we gonna do this?
So are we doing this now?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. We don't have to super get into it, but honestly, by the end of that game, I do think Joel is selfish and is sort of the real bad guy by the end. Like I really like the ending of that game.
Totally the real bad guy. Like, that's the point.
Yep.
But it's selfish. Yeah, I mean, he's, again, this is recapping a thing Ren and I did a couple days ago. But yeah.
But if the video publisher's still watching.
But yeah, I mean, by the end, he chooses the interests of the one as opposed to the many.
Yeah.
So, like, if the Firefly do kill Ellie and dissect her brain and learn how to, you know, cure this disease, like, he could literally save mankind. But he's selfish, and he chooses just her, and he makes that decision. She doesn't get to make the decision.
It's not even, like, he's saving her. It's for him. Like, it's not for her.
Because he's like, you are Sarah now. Yeah. I am doing what I couldn't do with Sarah.
It's his daughter.
So, yeah, that's kind of the weird thing I think some people miss eventually. They're like, oh, well, he just cares about her so much.
No,
like,
that's not it.
He does, but also not like
well he cares about his
Ellie
own
is a replacement
yeah
and you see that whenever they're walking to the forest at the very end cutscene, like you're playing as Ellie and he's just like, oh, you get along so well with Sarah and all this other stuff, and it's like that's Sarah is all
she's
the only thing on his mind right now.
Ellie isn't allowed to be her own person because of that, like she's a projection of
but at the same time I think Ellie is sympathetic towards that, like she understands like she's lost so much and this man baby can't grow up.
When she wants a companion.
Grizzled, right, she still wants bearded man baby.
Yeah, like she...
It's worse.
Like there are moments when she's obviously the one being the adult. Like sure, you know, Joel's bigger and older and experienced in living and stuff, but he's just like a shell of a man who lost his kid and just never recovered, and she's trying to take care of him in a way.
Yep, and like, that's tests and...
That's, yeah, that's kind of like why at the
end...
He
has killed Marlene.
Yep.
Yeah, at the end, she asks him if he lied, and he's like, no, that's the truth. And she has this look like she knows, but I also think she's not, like, she's angry, but also understands why.
Also, why didn't he take the time to teach her how to swim?
Oh, my God. That is my number one problem with that game. Like, I love everything about that game, but the fact that I have to get a pallet 30 times in that game because she can't swim. This is, like, the smartest, most precocious little girl, and she can't swim across standing water.
Like, teach her
standing
how to swim.
Water. Yeah. Just get on your back. You don't even do anything. You
teach her how to swim.
Just literally lay on your back. That's like, what you do every night when you sleep.
It's like way easier than ocean swimming.
That game could have been 15 minutes if she knew how to swim.
Yeah. Like, okay, yeah, I'm so mad about this still.
I am furious about that.
Why a stupid man-child can't teach a girl how to swim?
I think...
If you teach a man to swim... If you teach a girl to swim, she might swim away.
That's really dark. Tattooed on a chest.
Oh my god!
I really... If they ever did... Or maybe they do a sequel to Last of Us, all I want is a story about Ish. I don't care about anybody else in Scary.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
Man, a lot of people, I remember before Left Behind was announced, they, like, people were predicting what the DLC would be, and everyone wanted that story, but, like, I feel like that story is actually fairly well told visually in the game.
I think it is, but I was like, just want to know more, because I like him the most.
Yeah, I mean, that's, like, one of the coolest little side stories that, like, can almost just miss or forget if you're not paying attention, which I really like. Yeah, I love when they do stuff like that. I love that kind of, that idea of, like, you know, like, walking through and seeing, like, just kind of the storytelling of, like, corpses placed in certain places and, like, what that can mean and just getting, like, in 2 seconds. And, like, there's little, like, notes you can find in, you're in that, like, train station and you find that guy who's like, oh, don't worry, we'll take good care of her or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's lots of cool, very smart moments in The Last of Us with that.
Yeah, I
also
that.
I also now want The Last of Us 2 to open on a shot, a static shot, and after like 20 seconds, Ellie just dives into a pool and is swimming. It's like she learned how to swim!
She's like jumping like a dolphin, like in out of the water, doing like backflips. I would love to see a Last of Us anime. I think that would be really good.
I'd watch a Last of Us anime.
That would be. Why? Can you imagine like clickers with but an anime?
No. I think part of me not enjoying The Last of Us as much as other people did was because I was so stressed playing that. Like, mechanically, it's not the best. And also, it's just a super stressful game.
Mm-hmm. It is really stressful.
It is very,
And I have especially a hard time handling that.
There are those moments, there's that moment in the basement when it's dark and you feel like turn the generator on that is like the best, like that evokes Resident Evil in the best way. Like, that was like one of those survival horror moments that, like, just like, I don't know, like, for me, it was, like, kind of surprising because I don't, like, the game's tense up until that point, but that point's so, so, so well done.
Mm-hmm. I love, play the game I again. Love The Last of Us. I love that game so much.
Spooky Last of Us.
Yeah. Hey, Marty.
Hey, buddy.
PlayStation Plus.
Yeah, October. It's October.
You know what else is spooky? Halloween, which is for October. Damn it. Man, I could have done that better. October lineup.
Yeah, PlayStation Plus lineup is here for October. Mm-hmm. If you have PS Plus, you're going to get Super Meat Boy for free on PS4 and on Vita. Real good, except that they have a different soundtrack now.
Yeah, it's the soundtrack's really real bad. So they couldn't get the rights to the songs in Super Meat Boy, so they're like are composing new ones basically.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah,
super
I didn't know
interesting.
That
like it. Some TV shows have had that where like the main theme like it came to DVD
the music
older shows didn't negotiate DVD rights because it wasn't a thing yet and then like they had to change like the theme song or like a song in a key scene or things like that.
Oh, wow.
Like Arrested Development season 1 has when they're running out of the hotel that song had to be different in the DVD. Yeah. Just like weird stuff like that.
I had no idea that was a thing.
Also, like Earthbound for the longest time, people thought that was the issue with the rights because they were very similar to the Beatles.
Yeah,
and
a lot
stuff.
Of songs in Earthbound are cribbed directly from the Beatles. But play Super Meat, regardless of the music, if you haven't played it, play it. It's a really incredible 2D platformer that is just mean as all heck and was a very important game last generation.
Next is Broken Age for PS4 and Vita. I love, like, honestly, like, I still think, because Broken Age Part 2 came out this year and honestly is still one of my favorite things this entire year. Really, really love Broken Age Part 1 and 2.
If you need help, IGN has a wiki that I wrote.
Yeah. And if you
IGN.com/wiki/broken-age.
Yeah. Nice.
Wow, is that the URL actually?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that game's awesome. That is one of my favorite games the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. And plays great on Vita as well. Oh. Looks amazing on PS4.
Yep.
Also, Unmechanical Extended. I watched a trailer for it. You play as like a little helicopter robot.
Oh, does that have a cute like face drawn on the front?
Yeah.
Does it?
Yeah, it's a little cute. It's a little cute.
Or is it kind of like, oh, that's all right.
Well, you think those scary Bloodborne monsters are cute, so you probably
those
think it's cute.
Beautiful. I almost wanted to be one of those.
Oh, those guys
are so cute.
Not cute at all.
I want to help you out.
No,
it's okay.
they're literally hands clawing up from hell. They're like the two kids under their ignorance and want under the Ghost of Christmas Presence robes.
Okay, I think grunts from Halo are cute.
They're so cute.
I almost bought a plushie of one.
Oh, they have one.
What is wrong with
from Halo Fest? From Halo Fest a few years ago, there was like somebody here surely has under desk.
I want it.
Maybe it's me. There's a grunt plush. It's a real
top 10 hideous things IGN think are cute.
We should write that list because
that's actually really good. Hideous things we think are cute.
I love grunts.
What's the?
Why do you keep looking at me?
Because you're the most hideous thing I think is cute.
Well, feature to do.
Hey, yeah. Chariot for PS3.
Chariot's actually a pretty fun 2D puzzle platformer. It's cooperative. You are carting around your dead father in a wagon. But he's a ghost, so it's funny. Also, Kick Beat, which is about carting your dead father around in a wagon. But he's a ghost, so it's funny. That looked pretty dumb. And Kung Fu Rabbit also looks pretty dumb. Those are coming to PS3 and Vita. So just download Meat Boy and Broken Age.
Or try the other one. They might be.
Don't try things. Rally. No, the secret to a long and happy life is to don't try new things. Wow. Stick with the old things.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. Maybe not.
Maybe she'll take me back.
I say maybe that's why you cry at your desk all the time.
You're not wrong.
Mean.
Hey Miranda, what's out this week? On
there's some weird Japanese words. We
if
need
I
you.
Wanted to know what's out this week, where would I go?
Dengeki Bunko.
To the Andrew Goldfarb Memorial for games that don't exist anymore but could still exist.
Oh.
Yeah, yep. Dengeki Bunko is kind of cool. I played at TGS.
Oh, awesome.
It's got a bunch of anime people, and they fight.
Is it like real anime people?
Yeah,
is it
like actual characters? You mean real anime?
Yeah, Toradora is a big one.
Toradora is in that game?
Yeah, Sword Art Online.
Is it like Jump, kind of like Jump Ultimate, like crossover stuff?
Yeah, kind of like that, yeah, except just a bunch of different franchises. There's some characters I actually really hate, so I was really happy to kill them. I was like, you're dead.
Is one of these, are they like owned by, is it like Shonen Jump? Are one of them owned? Is Dengeki or is Bunko or is Fighting Bunko. Or is Climax a company?
Climax company would be really
sure.
Well.
Yeah. Yeah, Fighting Climax might be a company.
Yeah,
know, but
could be.
Somewhere.
Disgaea, which I think Vince
liked. His review should be up by now. Yeah. He really liked it. So, he gave it an 8 point something. Yeah. Disgaea 4, PS4.
Dragon Age, which I guess I hadn't, like, I almost forgot about it because there have been so many games. There's, like, The Witcher and the Metal Gear and all this stuff we've been talking about.
That was last year. That was our game of the year for 2014.
I mean, that's what's interesting. It's, like, it's been so long that I forget that there were, like, big games last year, too.
Yeah. And
I mean, like, which sounds like a stupid thing to say, I guess, but it's just, like, I haven't thought about Dragon Age in so long, but this is, like, game of the year bundle.
Me with anime, like, I'm just, that was last year, what?
Yeah. Like, I guess that's more what it is. It feels like it was so long ago, like, is what I'm trying to say. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's tough. This is the Game of the Year edition, which has all the DLC. Obviously, it's a fantastic game. But it's tough, though, because, yeah, between Witcher and Metal Gear and then upcoming stuff like Syndicate and Fallout, when do I have time for these massive 30, 40, 50-hour games?
Yeah.
The answer?
I literally don't.
Never. Yeah. Which was literally never.
That's why you watch the anime of a game instead of playing it sometimes.
Oh, I love that Dragon Age anime.
Dragajime. Speaking of games based on anime, Farming Simulator 16 is coming out for Vita.
Yep.
So I bought a Japanese 3DS, and I think that's one of the things I saw in the eShop. I was like, I don't want to buy
that. Wait, Farming Simulator?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I mean,
there are people who are super into those games.
There's some simulator like that. Like, I don't remember exactly.
I like Harvest Moon.
I love Harvest Moon. Maybe that's what Harvest Moon's called in Japan. Farming Simulator.
Really.
Yeah.
I was just really surprised to see it. I was like,
yeah, that's
weird.
Interesting.
I kind of want to do a Let's Play of this.
Farming Simulator 16?
Yeah. I'm going to choose someone else who's from the Midwest and corn-fed. Brian Albert. Him and I could do it.
Brian Albert or Justin?
Yeah. Yeah. Good wholesome boys. That's true.
But I'm from... Well, the southern part of the Midwest.
From the South Midwest.
Yeah.
SMW.
I love the Midwest.
Well, you too, Andrew, kind of.
For a while, yeah. I bounced around. I'm really from the Northeast, but then I bounced down there.
Did you call me an SJW?
I called you an SMW, the Southern Midwest.
Oh, Super Mario World.
SJW.
I was like, you picked a weird thing to call me. Onigiri. Isn't that a food?
Yes, it is.
Want to give
it's also
a food?
Really.
That's the subtitle of the game.
Super sexual.
Oh, super sexual
kind of thing.
Oh, is it?
Super sexual.
Hey,
what?
Is it called onigiri?
If you want girls with a bunch of big boobs running around, that's your game, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Let's take a moment of silence on that.
Really, why is it called that though?
I don't
that doesn't
know.
Make any sense. Like,
I mean, this is.
Is it the sequel to Bungie's hit game Oni?
Yes.
Onigiri's
same
of
subject lore. Matter. Same gameplay mechanics.
Also coming to PS4 and PS3 is Ride, which is a really bland-looking game where I think there was a man on a motorcycle on the cover. I don't remember. That was like 20 minutes ago.
Nice.
Rock Band 4 is out for PS4. That is actually a good game that does matter.
Yeah, I'm really excited to jump back into that. I used to be super into Rock Band, Guitar Hero, etc. Haven't played in probably 5 years.
Yeah.
I know McCaffrey really liked this, and I'm just excited. Like, I would like if we started having, like, the way people were playing Smash here for a while, like having like Rock Band nights.
Yeah,
and, like,
if we set up in the demo room. And
I would totally do that. I used to play Guitar Hero 2 on my PS2 like every night.
Yeah. Especially the crazy thing is if like we set it up on someone who had an insane Rock Band account on either 360 or on PS4 or on PS3, like someone who has like 1,000 songs.
Yeah, like everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would totally join that.
Yeah.
That'd be so much fun.
And then we could do Guitar Hero Live, but you can only do that by yourself. I think? No, I might have lied.
That's true.
I thought it's one player.
I don't know.
No, I probably lied.
Are we talking about Rock Band?
I went to Guitar Hero.
What
I lied.
DDR.
What about?
Oh, I totally.
What about Guitar Freaks?
I played a lot of DDR on my PS2 also.
Me too.
Did you have the mats?
I had a mat. Yeah.
But weren't those mats like they would like slide around your room? Like they would didn't really work well on carpet.
The room had like the room I played in had a carpet.
What do you mean you're smart about it?
You put it on a carpet with like the rug pad, and then it doesn't slip.
Yeah.
And then you just
from the Midwest, we're idiots.
Marty like covers up the scars. All the scars all over his legs.
I danced too hard.
Where were you in 2001?
Of all years, really? That's who we're going with? You could have picked any other year. No. Disaster. Here's another Amine, possibly. Saint Seiya Soldier Soul.
Yeah. So I actually only heard about Saint Seiya this year. Which I think is actually super popular in Latin America.
Yes, it's huge in Latin America.
I didn't know until I went to an event, and I was like, whoa, what is happening? But, I mean, it's really cool. So, awesome.
Yeah, I think this is it's one of the Bandai fighting games, sort of like the like Naruto and Dragon Ball Z and stuff.
Yeah, it looks pretty. Yeah. I don't know much about Saint Seiya. I watched a thing, and I was like, I'll pass.
Mm-hmm. It's weird that there's two games in a row, which is a bunch of asses. Next, we have a PS1 classic. This is a true definition of a classic. Shooter, Starfighter, Shavern. That's not a real thing. More importantly, the Battlefront beta is available on PS4.
Yeah, I was watching Mitch and Zach play a little bit. Man, I want to play that.
It's out on the 8th, which is...
Wednesday? Thursday?
I got to pay rent.
Thursday? Yeah, you really have to pay rent. You're getting into a third of the month completely.
You're going to get a fee.
Yeah, it's on the 8th, a couple days away. As we already mentioned, Super Meat Boy, Transformers Devastation, came out today. We just got it today, which usually is a really bad sign, such as with Tony Hawk. But Tony Otero is playing it right now, and it doesn't seem awful. It's a platinum game.
So it's not a Korra.
It doesn't seem as bad as Korra. It looks like it definitely looks exactly like the old cartoon. It has a lot of fan service.
Purely, like, I haven't played it. Purely just watching, I think the background seemed a little dead. It doesn't seem like there's a lot going on. But admittedly, I've barely seen it, so it might get better.
It's a $50 game, which is a weird. I mean, it feels like it could have been cheaper. I don't know. Who am I to say anything?
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll see what Jose thinks. He's kind of digging a little deeper.
He's
transforming into a shovel and digging into.
Robots, can we transform into a helicopter and get us out of here? And also, on the 9th, Uncharted, the Nathan Drake collection is out. Obviously, you've probably made your decision on whether or not you're going to purchase that. I am super excited this weekend. I'm going to dedicate myself to playing through these video games.
Oh, I'm excited to hear what you think.
I'm going to play Persona.
Yeah,
I downloaded Persona 4 Golden. I'm very excited.
Oh yeah, you've never beaten P4 Golden.
Oh my God.
I barely played P4 Golden.
That was so much fun. Cool. Yeah. It took me 2 years.
Do I get the Jesus? That sounds horrible.
No, but it was brilliant and I loved it.
Okay.
Yeah. Why did it take you 2 years?
Oh, because college.
Oh, okay.
I got stuck.
Real life.
Yeah. Real.
Just living.
You only played it between the hours of 12 and 1.
I like that you left this extra unclaimed bullet point.
Yeah, what do you think, sir? I leave that for our fallen brethren.
Pour one out.
I leave that for the game that Ryan Clements probably forgot on the list. Andrew.
Yeah, we have a few rapid fire questions. No, they're going to be longer form questions. I don't want to steal Brian's bit. But we also got some questions on Facebook that we'll try and go through, right?
Yeah. So, Andrew hopped in the Podcast Beyond Facebook group. You should join that. It's a fun group. He asked some questions, and we got some responses.
Yeah, the first one we kind of talked about a little bit is from Vasily Sankin, which is kind of about the same trend with Fallout and Far Cry. Like, we were just discussing about games being announced and then having this very short PR cycle and then coming out. And I don't know. I mean, I feel like we pretty much touched on this, but the second half I thought was really interesting, which is which games would you want to be suddenly revealed and then almost immediately released? He says, I would love a new Bioshock, and suddenly Ken Levine's still doing it, which is probably not going to happen.
But, no, that's probably not going to happen. I get the I feel like if we ever see a Portal 3 or a Half-Life 3,
that's
going to be the case.
They have to at this point. Yeah. Like, hey, it's on Steam right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, those are the two that come to mind. I feel like very few companies can do that. I think Rockstar could, if Rockstar were to announce like
Red Dead 2,
Red Dead 2, or big single player DLC for GTA 5, like a Ballad of Gay Tony or Lost in the Damned style.
It's interesting because the reason this kind of can't work is retailers. I think Valve, who owns and operates their own, like they have Steam, they can just drop this and be fine and give it all the promotional space they want. But I think the reason you see these kind of 4 month, 6 month windows rather than just it's out today is because they need that time to show off to retailers to give them space and to make sure they get pre-orders and to boost up numbers. And like that very business facing side of it kind of prevents people from being able to be too spontaneous. But
yeah, I mean, I think you've been telling me, like, in order to get, like, shelf space in a place like GameStop or, like, Best Buy, like, you need to be in talks months in advance.
Right. Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, you see things like the GameStop Manager Show that are specifically to kind of make a case for, like, hey, here's what our game is, and, you know, we need to be out. Mm-hmm. We're out this year. Like, here's why you should give us units on your shelf rather than just giving them all to Matten or, you know, whatever the sure thing is. Mm-hmm. And I think it's, you know, super interesting. As far as games, I would love to see just kind of come out or just kind of get announced and be out really soon. Yeah, I mean, Bioshock's certainly up there. I would love to know what they're doing with that franchise, and you kind of have to hope that maybe there's, like, stuff going on behind the scenes they're just not talking about yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine that's such a sort of potent IP that 2K is not just going to, you know, let it wither away and die because Ken Levine is off and, you know, New Irrational are off doing something different. Yep. There's a lot of, you know, really talented studios that can probably have some pretty cool ideas there. Where do you want to see the next Bioshock?
Anywhere but Rapture. yeah, I hope it's completely new. Yeah. I would be very disappointed if they had really any ties beyond fan service to the originals.
I would be cool with, like, a Telltale Rapture, like, before.
I would love that.
Yeah.
Bad things
yeah.
happen.
Tales yeah. from the Rapture. Yeah. yeah.
If it was going to be that, yeah, if it was going to be purely, that's like, story-driven, I'd be cool with that. Yeah. yeah.
Also, imagine through, like, legitimately living through the fall.
Yeah.
yeah. Well, I mean, that's sort of what the DLC for Infinite was trying to do.
Yeah.
But I like, you got a really interesting taste of sort of what life was like before the fall. Like, absolutely. Why would people splice? Like, there were, like, little things I really liked. It's like, why would a Houdini splicer exist? Oh, it's because, like, they were waiters and it was faster to go from table to table.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's like kind of like this idea of, like, why would a Big Daddy exist? Oh, he was doing renovations on the exterior part of yeah. Rapture. Like, just right. little things like that for, like, why this world would be how it is. I thought was cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's always
I
cool.
I love that so much.
How about you? Any game you would want to see kind of suddenly announced?
Okay, so I was brainstorming while you're talking, and then I started tearing up because I was like, what if they remastered Skyrim?
I started
tearing up because I really love Skyrim. I knew it was I thought it, and then I was like, I'm not going to say that. That's stupid. Answer, and then I started tearing up. I was like, I guess I have to say this now because that's how bad I want this.
I mean, remasters that's really interesting. I feel like those are games that actually could very easily get this.
Yeah.
Right, because, like, you already have a base of people who mm-hmm. would kind of right. go out and buy
and
it.
And the second that, you know, blah 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 HD is out there, like, people are, if they're a fan, they're gonna buy it. If they're not,
yeah,
they're not.
So
you know?
I think that's one of the more, I mean, like, this particular remaster is not gonna happen probably.
Yeah.
But, like, that's the kind of format I think. Because you don't have to spend as much time kind of pushing, kind of like, this is why you should want this game. Because if you've already played
it's already kind of a known quantity.
Yeah, or, like, you know, people will be like, oh, yeah, that's a great game. You should go pick it up if you haven't played it. And now it looks better.
So yeah, it's totally. Kind of an and easy it seems sell. Easy because it's just like, well, just, like, take what the PC version looks like.
Yeah, you know? It's an easier sell.
Fun fact I learned about Skyrim today was that before the game, when the game was in, like, pre-production, like, Bethesda met with George R. R. Martin's people about acquiring the Game of Thrones license.
Oh, wow.
And that, like, Skyrim could have ostensibly been a Game of Thrones game, but eventually they settled on wanting to sort of build their own world and not have to adhere to different rules. So
interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then we've gotten a lot of dumb games in the Game of Thrones universe since then. And the Telltale one, which is fun.
We had, like, that Atlas RPG. I think Destin gave the game, like, a 4 back in the day.
Destin reviewed a game.
Mm-hmm. Destin did.
A video guy reviewing a game.
That's still a joke.
Yes. Zach gets so mad.
Zach does get really mad.
I almost want to send a tweet to make that joke, but probably not do that.
Nope.
He'd be a real sad boy.
Yeah. Real sad boy.
Frank Varro says, do you think there's such a thing as a single game that can still be a system seller anymore?
What?
Or are most people making the call based on the overall body of exclusives?
What was your thing?
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm a jerk. Miranda, what would you want to see announced suddenly?
I want Jet Set Radio.
I want Jet Set Radio, too.
Awesome. Yeah, like, that would be really cool.
Better controls.
Yeah.
It's, like, beautiful.
Oh, my God. Holy moly.
That would be incredible.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. That could. I'm sorry.
Whoa.
Did you play Future?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you like it?
I had fun with it.
Yeah. I didn't think it was as good as the original, but
yeah.
I thought it was gorgeous.
Yeah,
super gorgeous.
It was amazing.
Yeah. Oh, my God. So. It sucks that, like, I don't know where that license is because the game came out on, like, iOS, I think, and DS or Vita.
I mean,
no, it's on Vita. I have it on my Vita.
It came out again, but it wasn't a good port.
No, it was a really bad port. The camera was all mucked up. I said mucked.
Did you?
Yeah, I said mucked. I said mucked the first time too. You wrote down, but I said muck.
Why?
Like, this, I guarantee this is a muck.
No, that was that was mine.
Anyway,
you just beat out the entire.
So just. Frank Vero. Frank.
I'm sorry. I feel really bad about
you. You should feel bad.
Like, no.
I'm not good at this. This is why they don't let me do this.
This is exactly why we don't let you do this. Do you think there's such thing as a single game that could be a system seller anymore? Or are most people making the call on the overall body of exclusives?
I think the latter.
Yes, I think so, 100%. I don't know what the last, especially like launch games, like Wii Sports, and then before that Halo, and then before that Mario World, Mario 64. Like, there haven't been a lot of, like, if you look at the PS4's launch lineup or the Xbox One's, like, they're kind of crummy.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Like, they're sort of not worth plunking down $400.
I think there are still some system selling games, especially for, like, Nintendo.
Yeah.
Like, whenever Legend of Zelda comes out, whatever it is for Wii U, that'll be something that sells us. Like, that's for me. Like, I'm holding out. Like, I mean, I kind of want to play Splatoon. I kind of want to play some other things. But ultimately, I'm just like, well, I could play those after.
I guess that's a good point, right? Like, I think the idea of, are there games that, like, fans of that franchise will buy a system for? Absolutely. Yeah. There are people who will buy a next-gen system for the first time just to play the next Kingdom Hearts. Like, I do think that is a thing. But
like, how many 3DSs were sold for Pokemon?
Yeah, exactly. Totally.
Yeah, I do think, like, that's a totally fair point. I think it's rarer for the super widespread mainstream people to, like, Wii Sports brought people in who were not even gamers. Like, that's one of those things that, like, that was you buy a system just to have this kind of, like, cultural phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like those days are maybe gone, although maybe VR could bring them back.
Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I think that's really interesting. That was a real good question, Frank.
That was a good question.
Does anyone else have anything to say before we move on to the next question?
Nope. I'm good.
Sorry.
I'm good. You're such a dweeb. Go ahead.
Luke Remillard, maybe Remillard, I don't know. I apologize for butchering last names. Says, I just got a Vita with a lot of questions. Let's talk about it. Maybe give a basic guide on what to get, what to download, best games, what to enable, disable.
Persona 4 Golden.
Persona 4 Golden
Danganronpa
is absolutely up there. Yeah, Danganronpa is another one.
Get PlayStation Plus, because every month you're probably get a couple cool games. Like, I recently had to switch over Vita systems because I spilled rum and kombucha on my Vita.
Wait.
Classic mixture.
All we had in a house was rum and kombucha, and we put it in a to-go thing, and I put it in my backpack, and we got an Uber, and I got real drunk that night, and I woke up the next morning, and there was rum and kombucha everywhere.
Oh, no.
Yep.
To that point.
That's such a Marty story. I can't even handle it.
That's literally how
every one of
Marty's stories ends with, and I woke up, and I was still drunk, and I checked my backpack.
And then we got in the room, and I said, "Yeah."
To that point, if you get PS Plus, enable the automatic syncing of trophies and automatic downloading firmware, because it's really nice and will save you a lot of time with updates and such.
I'm trying to think. Yeah, I don't know what the what are the Persona 4 Golden. I think everyone here can agree that's sort of the go-to game.
Oh,
you can get.
And it'll take you a long time.
Yeah,
100%.
It's not for everybody, but man, I love Tearaway. I think that's the best use of that is the best feeling of like a Vita specific game that I think uses like everything from top to bottom really well.
Yeah, if you're a huge Uncharted fan, Golden Abyss is worth it.
That is fun. Yeah. I liked it more than the first Uncharted.
Yeah, I think a lot of people say that.
Yep. I like Golden Abyss a lot.
Yeah, there's just a ton of really great indies if you haven't played them at all on anything else. Like Limbo,
Broken Age,
Thomas Was Alone.
Spelunky.
Spelunky. Oh, my God, get Sound Shapes.
Yeah, Sound Shapes. Yep.
Yeah, Rogue Legacy.
It's this thing where like there's this kind of joke that Vita has no games, but like I could sit here for probably an hour and rattle off like incredible
Guacamelee.
Yep. Yeah, a lot of new dating sims. So.
Yeah.
Yes.
If you haven't played Shovel Knight.
Persona 4 Dancing All Night.
Yeah.
Persona 3, which is a PS2 classic. Persona 2. Persona 2 Innocent Sin. Persona 1.
Oh, this is the day we lost Andrew.
My nose is just bleeding. So Vita's like really cheap now to get used to. There are bundles floating around. Highly recommended.
Yeah. Still got to fix that memory card thing.
Yeah, although it's awesome. I mean, it's expensive, but since getting a 64 gig memory card, I haven't had to worry pretty much at all.
I have one, too. Yeah, it's nice.
I have a baby size. I don't remember what it is. I think it's probably like 8 gigs or
so
something.
You have to delete and make room.
Yeah, I've started having that problem. Just like,
there are deals now. I mean, you do see like Amazon Lightning deals for like a 32 gig card that aren't like those launched at $99 when the Vita came out, and that was after. So they announced the price of those memory cards, and then they dropped them.
Mm-hmm.
But the 32 gig card I think has been as cheap as like $60 on sale, maybe even cheaper than that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so it's worth looking for.
Yeah.
I thought this one's interesting. This is from Tahoe R. Common Nevada, which says, do you think No Man's Sky is being delayed to be a PlayStation VR launch title? I think that's fascinating. Sean Murray was on the Colbert Report, or I'm sorry, the Tonight or the Late Show.
Yeah, with you Colbert. Kept correcting me every time I would say that.
I know. And didn't announce a release date, so I think there's a lot of people talking about it. My answer to this specifically would be no, because I do think that Sony's going to launch that thing with first-party support. I think you're going to see stuff like Riggs, you're going to see like Cambridge developing a lot of stuff, I would assume,
yeah.
and maybe Evolution, and kind of the owned studios. But this is an interesting idea I'd never really thought about, aside from the fact that No Man's Sky would be rad in VR, if it is something that maybe they would delay to time with something like this.
Yeah, I don't know. I get the feeling No Man's Sky is going to be out before PlayStation VR is.
I hope so.
Yeah, yeah, I think No Man's Sky might be a pre-E3 game,
like a
I would imagine. Yeah. Yeah, or like sort of like where The Last of Us hit or where Witcher, Batman hit.
Oh, like an early summer.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think they're going to put it anywhere close to Uncharted. I think Uncharted owns March. In Sony's mind space, so I don't think it should be anywhere around there. I also think Uncharted's going to get delayed again, but that's another topic. I'm really, really, really excited for No Man's Sky. I like Sean Murray a lot.
Yeah.
He's adorable.
Yeah, No Man's Sky is dangerously approaching kind of the point we were talking about earlier where it's like, I've seen enough, I just want to play it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know that there's anything else I want to know or see of No Man's Sky beyond just having it in my house.
Yeah, it's approaching critical spore level.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Do you like No Man's Sky?
Yeah, it looks awesome.
Do you know what they call it in Poland?
No, Marty. What do they call it in Poland?
Nomanski.
Oh.
On to the next one.
Joshua Holt says, what is the PlayStation exclusive you're most excited for? Uncharted 4 or Gravity Rush 2? I think he's listing those examples, not asking us to choose between them.
Yeah. But,
I'm super excited for both of those. Those are easily very high on my list. Uncharted is going to be earlier than Gravity Rush, I would assume.
Yeah, absolutely. Last Guardian. Loved what I saw of Horizon.
Horizon's super high.
Yeah. Horizon is mine.
I know it's not a. Well, I guess it's the PlayStation, but Persona 4 or Persona 5. Sorry.
Yeah.
Well, Persona 6.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Persona 6. 5. 5 is by far my most anticipated game all around. But that's one of those games like when I get it, it's gonna be like my only love, but until then, I do want to play Uncharted.
It's gonna be your Pikachu. Aww.
My number one. I do think that Uncharted 4 is super exciting, and with the trilogy out now in HD, getting excited again, and kind of like Uncharted 4, like from the moment they showed that first actual gameplay, which I guess was like what VGX is last year, was the first kind of extended look. I've been super excited for it. As we get closer, I'm just like very ready for another one of those adventures.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm excited for smaller stuff too. Witness, Firewatch. Those are exclusive, but they're leaning towards Sony.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, Witness, man. Colin and I saw that at E3 2013.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a while. But
it's going on in January.
That recent round of previews was awesome.
Yeah.
I'm very excited.
I'm very excited. I played quite a bit of it.
Excited for Gravity Rush 2.
Yes,
and
for sure.
Persona 5. I think that's those are my.
I'm excited to replay Gravity Rush on PS4.
Yeah, I want to do that.
Yeah, because I played through Gravity Rush right when I got my Vita, and I remember really liking it. But
it's funny. I think I might replay it on Vita again rather than wait for the PS4 version. I don't know. I prefer portable gaming in general. Like, I actually wish Persona 5 was a Vita game in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But I think that's just because I travel often, like, as I settle down.
But with remote play, everything's a Vita game. I don't know whose voice that was. That was weird. I'm sorry.
Weird Shuhei impression.
I actually also really like handheld gaming a lot.
Mm-hmm. I also like being able to do some. It seems like less of a commitment. And it seems like you're still able to engage with the outside world more. Someone else can use the TV. It seems like you can have conversations easier.
Well, like, Vita has trained me and 3DS have trained me. Like, on 3DS, I can be anywhere and just close the shell. And on Vita, I can just turn the system off and turn back on and pick right up. Kind of that, like, suspender zoom thing is really, really nice.
Yeah, or, like, I spend a lot of time on BART because I commute in here from the East Bay. And it's like, okay, if I'm going to spend an hour on BART every day way, I need something to do.
Totally.
I run out of music to listen to, and then I'm like, okay, now what? So
you should listen to Ryan Adams' cover of 1989.
It's actually really good. So sad.
It is really sad.
Yeah. It is.
I would be remiss if I didn't add Danganronpa 3, which is coming to PS4 and Vita.
I'm so excited.
Very excited for that one. Callie, I know you've been excited for this question. You told us you did quite a bit of research. Kyle R. Armitage asks, if you were a tree, what kind of tree would you be? Would you be a PlayStation tree?
I don't think those exist.
Oh, my God. I think he's mispronouncing the word three.
Oh.
But also, those don't exist anymore.
So I was like, oh, I would totally want to be like a cherry tree because you get the sakura blossoms and it's all pretty. Then I was like, I'd probably be like a weeping willow.
Oh my God, Callie. Wow.
We talked about crying.
Save it for the crying podcast.
Mine was worse. I was like, well, maybe I'd just be one of those trees you see on the side of the road that's like kind of barely growing. You're not sure if it's a shrub or if it's a tree.
Oh my God.
Well, I mean, it's something. Keep growing, little dude.
I would be a Christmas tree because someone would love me then throw me away.
Oh my God.
Value yourselves.
A redwood because they're really pretty. Next.
Cars can drive under them, I know. Sean Finnegan was fascinated by the concept of the redwood with the room for the cars.
Yeah, with the bridge, not bridge, tunnel. Those are two different things.
Bridge, yeah.
The bridge and tunnel crowd. People looping together all the time.
Like elevators and escalators.
Yeah.
That's right. What are other things?
What if there was an escalator inside of an elevator?
Wow, that would be weird.
That would be very dangerous.
That wouldn't work.
Yes, it would absolutely work. It'd be like an M.C. Escher joint.
Like the leeches. Entire, like a full-size escalator or just like a little one? It's like
a
two steps in your
design. I mean, like if you have a treadmill, massive basically. Platform that serves as an elevator and yeah. you have two like levels within the elevator, then it's that could work.
Show us your concept art for an elevator escalator. Tweet at us.
Yeah, guys, that was it. We did it, guys.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yay. I'm proud of everyone. We go with some plugs quick. Very soon, we are launching IGN's top 100 games of all time.
Yep. Not going to be controversial at all.
Not going to be controversial at all. We've already argued a whole lot about it. Andrew didn't write one of his blurbs because he's IGN's resident bad boy.
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah. There's a lot of real good games in there. It's probably some PlayStation games on there. Probably some games that aren't PlayStation.
NYCC, but I heard NYY.
I saw it as you were doing it. I was like, he's really
such a
no.
I tried. I left so long.
He's real mucking stuff. As Andrew was drawing, be sure to tune into IGN all weekend for New York Comic Con. Andrew's going to be there. Altano's going to be there.
Yep.
Zach Ryan's going to be there, all of which have been on the show. Our entertainment team, we're going to be covering all sorts of TV stuff like Legends of Tomorrow and
yep.
Twin Peaks.
Legends of Tomorrow, Supergirl, Game of Thrones, Jessica Jones, Daredevil, all the Marvel
yeah.
stuff.
Maybe some Naruto stuff.
Maybe a Shippuden
oh,
or
yeah.
two.
Yeah, they're doing the whole thing.
The Naruto creator
yeah.
is going to be
we,
there.
We oh, had cool. someone from Viz Media on Anime Club one time.
Ooh.
And we just talked about Naruto.
We're going to get to the other plugs.
Megway.
Not there yet.
Megway. Just finishing up the NYC thing, I will also be there for a week after. I'll just kind of be bumming around, so... Let me know if you want to hang out.
What? That's really weird. So that means you're not going to be on next week.
Or the week after.
Beyond.
Oh, wait. No. I'll
yeah,
be
on the week after.
Sorry. So just next week. Yeah.
Terrible.
Aww.
But there's... Max will be back.
Brian will be back.
Is Brian back by then?
Yeah, Brian will be back.
Yeah. So just me.
You can follow us all on Twitter. I am at McBiggity. Check out, I reviewed Tony Hawk last week in LEGO Dimensions. One of them is good, one of them is bad. I'll let you figure out which one's which. Andrew, you're at Garfep. What should people check out?
Lots of stuff coming out near Comic Con. We'll have some cool previews and videos with Brian Altano's beautiful face.
He's going to try to find Pepsi Perfect.
We're going to try, yeah, there are like 1,500 bottles of Pepsi Perfect at New York Comic Con. We're going to try and get one.
You're going to try and drink them all.
We're going to drink all of them. No, the big thing is if you show up dressed as Marty McFly, then you get one first. Like you'll get it free and you'll get one of the first ones. So kind of want to get Altano a makeshift Marty McFly costume and see if we can make that happen.
That's awesome.
It's real
dumb. We have a lot of fun here.
Yeah. Kelly, you are at Inky Dojo.
Inky Dojiko.
Inky Dojiko.
INKYDOJIKKO.
You spelled dojo wrong.
So if you follow me, you'll see cool things like I reviewed the first episode of Attack on Titan Junior High. That went up on Monday. I review games a lot for IGN. The most recent one I reviewed was Animal Crossing Happy Home Designer, and have another one coming up soon. So you should.
What was that game? Can we talk about that game?
Yeah, I got Animal Crossing today, and I want to talk to you about it.
Oh, yay. Yeah. Okay, we'll do that. But the other one I don't think I can talk about until like 2 days from now.
Is it Shenmue 3?
Nah, it's not.
You can't even say what the game is? I don't want to like have you break the
nervous.
If you're not comfortable saying, you shouldn't say. It's
not that
it's Shenmue 3. It's not.
No, it's Chibi Robo with Ziplash. It's not important.
Oh, you can say that.
Yeah, I know.
I can say that.
Yeah. It's important. Everything's important. Yeah. I'm sorry. Jeez.
Oh. Whoa. Pressure. Anyway.
All right,
Miranda.
Where are you on the internet? What have you been doing?
At Havoc Gross. Havoc with a K. Mm-hmm. So I was a dumb teenager. what have I been doing? A lot of shows. We have a spoiler cast for School Live going up. It's an awesome anime that you should check out.
It's really good.
Yeah, it's super good. What else am I doing? I haven't done a ton. I reviewed Persona 4 Dancing All Night.
Yeah, awesome. That's right.
So you can check that out.
That's out. You should definitely get it.
Yeah, and I helped with the top 100 blurbs.
Yeah.
Lots of blurbs.
Also, check out our ongoing History of Awesome series. I just recorded a bunch for the 2000s, and there was a lot of PlayStation talk. A lot of Grand Theft Auto, a lot of Sons of Liberty, a lot of Final Fantasy X, PS2 launch.
There's really cool stuff there, and actually, if you like the audio version of this, so we just, Ryan McCaffrey launched a show called IGN Unfiltered, which is long-form interviews, and then also History of Awesome. Both of those are now audio feeds, so you can get, and those are much, I know a lot of people talk about wanting longer podcasts. Unfiltered is probably an hour-plus interview most of the time.
And then the first one's with Tim Schafer, so if you play Broken Age, you can be like, who is this man who made this video game, and then listen to that.
Find out all about his life. And History of Awesome, those tend to go on easily over an hour in some cases. So yeah, just more stuff for your ears.
Yes. Thank you so much. That was Podcast Beyond, episode 413. We'll be back next week with Max and Brian for episode 414. And until then, Beyond.
Beyond.
Yeah. Yeah. Just kidding. Beyond.
Hey there. This is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it. Or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.